As you know, we are continuing our series on the parables of Jesus. And today we will cover two more parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. But before we read the passage from Luke chapter 15, I wanted to ask you a few questions. And you can feel free to shout out the answer. There's not that many of us. When was the last time you lost something? My wife said last night, actually, and I attest. She lost something last night. When was the last time you lost something? Yesterday also. All right. So pretty common, right? Well, do you eventually find what you lose? No. Sometimes. Depends on what. How many of you are prone to misplace things or to lose things? Right? Okay, quite a number of us. Some of our spouses, right? What are some things that you've lost before? Phone,
wallet,
credit card, keys, credit card, what else?
Kid.
Oh, you lost a kid? Which one, A, B, C, or D? C, okay. Wow, lost a kid. Okay, wow, that's good. What else have you lost? What's the biggest thing you've lost? Steven, what have you lost?
Wallet.
Your wallet, okay.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you've lost? Anyone lose a passport? Oh, yeah, okay, I see some fingers pointing. All right, well, so when I was in college at Davis, you know, for those of you familiar, Davis is people get around on bikes a lot, right? So everyone bikes in Davis. And so, you know, there's like thousands of bicycles. And so when I was in college, there was one day where I had my, I think it was a freshman year, and I had an 8 o'clock, I think it was an 8 o'clock math class, 8 o'clock math class, calculus. Don't judge me, okay? Because I took calculus in freshman year. 9 o'clock chem class, and they were right between buildings, right? So I would park my bike where the calculus class was, and then after class walk to chem 194, the big lecture hall, and then after chem class come back to my bike. Well, at 10 o'clock after lecture got out from my chem class, I came back to where I thought I parked my bike, and I couldn't find my bike. And I was like, oh no, like, I know I biked to school today. Like, and I know I left it there because that's what I would normally do. And I went around and I was like, where is my bike? And you know, I mean, there are thousands of bikes at Davis. Everyone rides their bikes at Davis. And so, you know, here I am trying to look for this red bike of mine, this 10-speed, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, what did I do? Like, you know, usually I lock the bike, you know how, you know, you lock it with to the railing or whatever. And I was like, what happened? And so I was really bummed. I was like, oh no, I lost my bike. How am I going to get around? And so I had to walk, right? I don't remember what day it was. It might've been on a Friday. I think it was on a Friday. And I was just so bummed that entire weekend. I was like, oh, I lost my bike. What am I going to do? I lost my bike. It's my method of transportation. I mean, yes, I could walk. Yes, I could take the bus, Unitrans, but it would take longer. And so I started praying, actually. Now, you got to remember, like, there's so many, I don't know, there's like thousands, tens of thousands of bikes on campus at Davis, right? But somehow I just started praying. And then I think when I went to fellowship, I just told people, I lost my bike. Can you please pray for me? And I'm sure people, and even myself, were kind of like, you're never going to find your bike. There's like a sea of bikes in this college campus. There's no way you are going to ever find your bike, right? It's like looking for what? A coin in like the ocean, right? And so I don't know, for whatever reason, I just was praying. I was like, okay, God, help me find my bike. Help me find my bike. And then what was funny is because I lost my bike, I had to walk everywhere. So the next week, I don't remember what day it was. I was walking home from lecture and I was passing by the student union where there's like a coffee shop, the Memorial Union, and there was like a coffee house or whatever. And I don't know, I think I got hungry or whatever, so I wanted to go into the coffee shop to get a bagel. And again, there are thousands of bikes and there's bikes parked everywhere. And I was just walking by and then somehow God like pointed me in a certain direction. And I was like, oh, could that be? Is that? And I was like, no, there's so many bikes. But actually the closer I got, that was my bike. And I quickly looked around. I was like, is anyone looking? Because I didn't want to be accused of stealing bikes, even though that bike was stolen from me. But quickly stole that bike because it was mine, right? And so I quickly hopped on the bike and I rode home as fast as I could. But that was like the biggest thing that I've ever lost, okay? Can I share? Okay, I had to get her permission. My wife, the biggest thing that she lost was our wedding ring. But it's okay. We didn't find it, but it's okay. We replaced it. But anyways, I use that as an example. So it's okay if you lose things, and it's okay even if you don't find things, okay? But the crazy thing is I never expected to find my bike. I was just praying, God, help me find my bike. Okay, and we prayed to God to help find the ring. And I even went to Cuesta Park where she thought she lost it. But of course, in a sea of grass, you can't find a ring. But anyways, the amazing thing is I was so happy to have found my bike. Because, I mean, what are the odds of finding a bike in a place where there are tens of thousands of bikes, right? And it was just at that incident that somehow that my bike was parked there. Whoever took my bike, oh yeah, God forgive them, was right there. And I happened to pass by and God opened my eyes somehow. I don't even know how. I don't even know where. Somehow I was just passing by and God steered me in that direction. But I was so happy. And that night, I think that night or that Friday night when I went to fellowship, I was telling everyone, guess what? I found my bike. You don't understand. Like, this is so huge. I found my bike. Or God helped me find my bike, right? Like, I just happened to walk by because I was hungry. But it was so amazing, and I was so excited. I was so happy and so in awe and so rejoicing. Okay, now, let us go to Luke chapter 15, where it talks about two lost items, not a bike, but a lost sheep and a lost coin. I'm going to ask all of us to stand and read this together. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, these are probably two very familiar parables. And together with the next parable in the following verses, which talks about the lost son or the prodigal son, which they point to the fact that God loves sinners. God loves those who are lost, and he wants them found. But part of that finding is God, in his sovereignty, wants to involve you and I in finding the lost sheep. Now, the passage begins with two different types of people. If we can go back to that earlier passage, it begins with two different types of people that Jesus is with, right? On the one hand, there are the tax collectors and sinners, right? Those that know that they are sinful, know that they're cheaters, they're evil, they know it, and that they don't deserve Jesus, but they seek him out anyways. That's the first group of people. The second group of people it talks about are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. These are the people that are muttering. These are the people that are saying, "Hey, this guy, like, he welcomes sinners. This Jesus, he's eating with them." These are the people who actually think they're good. They don't really know that they're evil. They think they're better than Jesus, and they judge his every move. Now, notice that this same Jesus actually eats with the sinner, but he also talks with the Pharisees. You know, he calls equally both of these different types of people to repentance and belief in him. Now, when we look at these two parables, you know, there are obviously some similarities, right? Something is lost, right? A sheep or a coin is lost. The owner or the shepherd or the woman diligently searches for the lost item. Then it doesn't say how long it takes, but these lost items are found. And then there's a lot of rejoicing going on, right, afterwards. Now, if we take a first look at this parable of the lost sheep. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard that, you know, sheep are like, well, dumb, right? But they're meek, they're quiet, they're gentle animals. Again, some have commonly described sheep as dumb. They don't really know what to do. And a sheep by him or herself is actually quite vulnerable to attack by its predators. They usually go in herds, right? And there's usually sometimes a sheepdog or a shepherd that kind of corrals them together. Now, this is a shepherd of how many sheep? 100 sheep, right? So I don't know if you've ever been on the farm. If I don't think any of us are ranch handlers or farmers, but maybe, I don't know, maybe some of us are in the past. But 100 sheep, okay? Now, you know, sometimes corralling 3 kids is hard enough, but 100 sheep, right? I mean, that's quite a bit, right? So he has 100 sheep. He loses one, okay? So that's what? Math majors? Didn't have to be a math major, but that's 1% loss, right? 1% loss. He has 99. He still has 99. He loses one. But yet this shepherd, he leaves the 99 behind to look for the one that is lost. Why would it matter that he lost this one sheep? When I was reading this passage, I was like, hey, if I were the shepherd, I still have 99. Like, wouldn't it be easier for me to maybe replace that one lost sheep, buy another sheep, instead of looking for this lost sheep? Like, where do I even begin to look? Do I go up on the mountain? Do I go down to the valley? I don't know at what point where the sheep was lost. There are 100 sheep. It's not like I can keep my eye on 100, all 100, right? The fact that I still have 99, that's pretty good, right? But yet, the shepherd, he chooses to leave the 99 in the open country, and he goes after the lost sheep, right? Now, what would you do if you were the shepherd? I mean, the easy way out is, well, I mean, it's a big field. I can't, you know, at that point in time, they didn't have RFID, right? You can't like track. You don't have GPS trackers or whatever. I mean, it's like stuff happens, right? Who knows? You know, David fought off lions, right? When he was a shepherd boy, right? Maybe a lion mauled the sheep. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's life. Sheep get lost. Right? What's the big deal? Right? But to this shepherd, it was a big deal. It was a very big deal to the fact that he was willing to leave behind the 99. But who's going to take care of the 99? Like, wouldn't you worry more about the 99 than this one lost sheep? Like, what if a band of wolves attacks the 99? Like, is it worth leaving the 99 behind to go after this one lost sheep? I mean, frankly, who knows? This lost sheep could be dead by now, right? It could have been mauled by a lion or a bear or whatever, or fallen down the cliff. Is it pointless to go after this one lost sheep? Again, you don't know which way he went, right? Like, where do you even begin to look? This shepherd goes to great lengths to find this one lost sheep. It doesn't really tell about the time, how long it took. The cost is not counted. But all that matters is for this one sheep to be found. Now, let's go to the lost coin parable. Very similarly, this woman has 10 silver coins, right? Does the same thing when she loses one silver coin. She looks for it. Okay, all right, 1 out of 10, 10%. So the stakes are a little bit higher, right? 10%, right? So it's like, oh, I've lost 10%. Maybe I'll do something more, right? So she, you know, it says she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, she searches carefully for this one lost coin. Now, we don't know how big her house is, okay? We don't know if she has a basement, if she has second story or whatever. We don't know how much stuff she has, how much clutter, how much furniture. Regardless, she does some intensive spring cleaning, okay? She basically sweeps the whole house, goes inch by inch throughout the house until she finds this one lost coin. Now, I don't know how big the coin, the silver coin is, but I mean, you can imagine it can't be like, it can't be humongous, right? It's probably, you know, like the coins that we know of. But if you have a house and there's a coin and you don't know if it's like, okay, so my son Enoch, he like puts his little toys all over the place, like little things, and he puts them like in between the sofa, he puts them underneath. He is very good at hiding things, okay? And sometimes we don't know where things go. Like, you know, he's always asking for whatever toy he lost. And I'm like, I don't know where you put it. I don't know where you stuffed it, right? But this lady, she goes to great lengths and she digs through everything. She sweeps the whole house. She maybe, I don't know if they probably didn't have couches those days, but I don't know, right? She lifts up whatever and she looks underneath whatever crevice until she finds this coin. She turns the house upside down. Now, for both of these people, the shepherd and the woman, they obviously have a love for the thing that they lost, whether it be the sheep or the lost coin. They searched far and wide because the lost object that they had tremendous value, right? It meant a lot to the shepherd and to this lady. Even though he and she still had other sheep and other coins, this one lost one had tremendous value. They were willing to set aside everything else to seek and find that lost item. Now, this is how obviously extravagant and lavish God's love is for us and for those around us. The fact that God would leave behind as the shepherd or as the woman, leave behind the 99 or the 9 to look for that one lost sheep or coin or person. Now, when you think about your own story, you may feel like, yeah, God actually, as the song that we were singing earlier, wooed me, romanced me, pursued me. You know, God left behind the 99 to go look for me because I was lost, right? This is how extreme, not counting the cost, how extravagant God's love is for those who are lost. He doesn't mind going to great lengths in order that the lost be found. Now, when it comes to us, I know for me, sometimes it's easy, again, like I said, to say, hey, you know, I still have the 99. Wait, that's great. You know, like, I'm sorry, I lost a sheep. Like, and a lot of times we think about, well, let's just tend to the masses. You know, it's okay. We still have the 99. Let's just spend time caring, nurturing, you know, looking after the 99. Don't get me wrong. That's good. That is good. But we cannot, for the sake of the lost, neglect the lost ones and just care about the 99 that are already in our flock. God's heart is for all, especially for those who are lost. Sometimes we're so busy tending to or taking care of the 99 or the 9 in our own domain that maybe we don't even know that there may be one that is out there that's lost. Maybe we haven't kept track or like, oh my goodness, I didn't know I lost a sheep. I didn't know I lost a coin. But when the Lord reminds us that, oh, there is a lost sheep out there. There is a lost coin out there. What is our response? How do we respond to such an extravagant and great God who sought us out? You know, in the beginning I said, you know, God is always at work and he's always moving, right? And part of the reason I asked Esther and Han to come up and share is because, you know, God's always at work. He is always moving in people around us. Sometimes we don't even know, right? But if they never carpooled with this boy, if she never strategically placed materials, and even though it didn't work in the beginning, but because of God's spirit, it worked, right? Because of God's spirit, that little boy is downstairs or up there in A201 in Kids Church today, right? You never know how God might want to use you or me. You never know how God want to involve you in finding the lost. It may seem like a big deal, and it is a big deal, but it's those acts of, it's the little steps of obedience, that little step of faith that, you know, with Esther's example, she was like, God, can you be real? Holy Spirit, can you show me more of yourself? How do you want me to get involved? And maybe it just begins by that prayer, saying, Holy Spirit, show me how you're at work in my life. And taking that step of obedience to say, oh, this lady has a real need. I'm not just going to say I'm going to pray for her, but I'm going to pray for her right now on the spot. And who knows what the Holy Spirit might do. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit is moving in her heart. And sure enough, Esther is still ministering to that family. Right? So, last week, Pastor Ted talked about the parable of the shrewd manager, right? For those of you that were here. And it was, you know, he was kind of saying, you know, a lot of times, you know, he gave the example of his two younger daughters and how they had this great business plan and how the two older daughters were a little duped into the business plan. But how, even as young kids, they're so conniving, so smart, so brilliant, so strategic in doing things of this world and gaining a profit. But how many of us in the kingdom of God do we go to such great lengths to see the kingdom of God advanced? Now, I want to extend that thought by saying, how many of us actually go to great lengths to seeing the lost found? Or perhaps, well, it's just kind of hard. And it is. Don't get me wrong. I know it's hard, right? But actually, when God is working and you just join him in his work, it's actually pretty easy, right? Like when you just kind of do one thing that God prompts you and then God does the rest. What I'm saying is, if God's already at work in someone's heart and God's just taking you, asking you to take a step of obedience and you obey and then boom, something happens, it's actually not that hard when God's already working, right? But the key is really the willingness and taking that step of obedience when the opportunity, when the Holy Spirit is saying, look, here's an opportunity. Take a step of faith, step out and do it. How many of us would go to great lengths to see our classmates, to see our coworkers, to see our neighbors be found? And I say that because I challenge myself with that same question. You know, or is it, oh, it's just too inconvenient, it's too hard. Or sometimes we assume they would be the last ones ever interested in the gospel. And we prejudge or we predetermine and we play God. We're like, oh no, the gospel cannot reach him or her because his or her heart is so hardened. You don't know that. That's an assumption. That could be a lie the enemy is planting in your head. You don't know their heart. You don't know what God is already doing behind the scenes. You don't know how God has been working throughout time or throughout the last few months. You have no idea. Sometimes we feel like, oh, we've got enough on our own plates and our own families that all we're focused on are the 99 or the 9. We're too busy. It's too hard. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. It's too inconvenient. But if we knew the heart of the Abba, the heart of the great shepherd who leaves the 99 to look for the lost, then we would be willing to say, okay, God, help me find the lost. Let me join you in your work. He's the one doing the work. We actually just, take little steps. I'm not asking you to stand on the street corner and preach the gospel. I'm not asking you to, you know, do something like crazy or ludicrous. I'm just asking you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to say, God, I want to be available. And if lost people really matter to you, then they should matter to me. And show me how I can join you in your work. And I think if we prayed that, we would be surprised at what God does. You know, Esther and Han, like, I get texts and from them all the time, which is great because it's so exciting. It's like, it seems like every day there's something new that's happening. And the thing is that should be our normal Christian life. Our Christian walk is not supposed to be dull and boring and like, oh, I've been a Christian for 50 years, 20 years, 30 years. But it's like status quo. If God is alive and well, then we should be testifying of his goodness. We should be testifying. We should be seeing miracles all the time. And there are miracles all the time, but a lot of times we fail to see because we fail to not look, or we fail because we're too busy, or we don't even want to ask God to show us. And so my challenge to all of us today is ask the Lord to show us, to show you where he is working. And be surprised about how you pray, because God's going to answer your prayer. And you're going to be up here and you're going to be testifying to how God has answered your prayer. That wasn't part of the notes, but anyways. Okay, so the other point that I want to make up, point out is, okay, when we talk about the lost sheep and the lost coin, perhaps sometimes the objects or the people, they may not even know that they're lost, okay? So that basically, like, for the sheep, there's no indication that the sheep understood that he was lost. Maybe he thought, oh, good, I can kind of go on a little adventure. I can kind of, like, go my own way. He probably had no idea. Remember, the sheep are dumb, right? He had no awareness of danger. He might have thought he was fine until he was stuck in a cave or until he was stuck on a crevice and there's a steep canyon below, right? And then he was like, oh, what do I do? Bah. Okay, but... The coin, no ability to see. It can't understand. It doesn't think, right? But sometimes people may not even know that they're lost, right? Until the Spirit of God comes upon them and until the Spirit of God convicts them and does something. But that's the key. It's not about what you and I even say. Sometimes you can talk till you're blue in the face, and if the Spirit of God isn't working, it's like there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do to convince. It's not about what we do, again. It's really about God at work. And this is where we need to join him at work. We need to be praying that the Spirit of God would be moving in this person, that the Spirit of God would be hovering and doing something deep in our relatives' lives, in our classmates' lives, in our coworkers' lives, that God, would your Spirit speak and show so-and-so their need for a Savior. Their need because they are lost. And a lot of times, I think we forget to pray that way. A lot of times we forget to say, God, would you reveal, would you show to so-and-so their lostness and the sense that they need you. They need a Savior. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to them their lostness. Since it's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin, it's the Holy Spirit who brings that person to himself. And of course, you know, both scenarios for both the shepherd and the woman, they say, rejoice with me, right? So basically, you know, we know the story, right? The sheep is found, the coin is found, and they both say, they come back and they just say, hey guys, guess what? I found my bike, right? Guess what? I found the sheep. I found the coin. Rejoice with me. And there's this cause for celebration, right? There's this happiness. There's this joy. All of their hard efforts paid off. It wasn't about, you know, the mountain that the shepherd had to climb. It wasn't about, you know, the mattress that the frail woman had to lift up or whatever. They're just so happy. They wanted to tell everyone, right? We rejoice But we should rejoice. We need to rejoice when people enter into the kingdom of God. When people find the Savior, when people realize their losses, and when people come home, when people come enter into God's kingdom, we celebrate. We rejoice. That's why when people come to faith in Christ, we are so happy. When people get baptized, we are jubilant, right? There's an act of wow, this person who was once lost is now found. And we celebrate together of God's goodness. And then, you know, in verse 10, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just like what Esther told the little boy, that there are angels in heaven celebrating on his second birthday, right? This is what it's all about, right? God wants and cares for the lost. He wants them found. And he'll do that in his own way or agenda. But the amazing thing is that he also chooses to involve you and I. He chooses to invite us to join him in this redemptive work. He chooses to invite you and I, even though he knows our limitations, even though he knows that sometimes we are not the most eloquent, maybe we don't even know where to begin, but all he's looking for is a willingness. All he's looking for is for us to say, God, I know that the lost matter to you, and I want the lost to matter to me as well. I may not know how to begin, but would you, Holy Spirit, show me? Would you show up in my workplace? Would you show up in my school? Would you show up in my family? I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. And when you prompt me, when you prod me, would you give me the strength? Would you give me the courage? Would you give me the word to say, whatever that might be, to join you in your work? We're going to close. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. I just want to invite you to reflect on just these two simple parables about the lost sheep and the lost coin. I want to ask you if you see the value of those that are lost around you. And you may not be the owner of them, God is, but God sees their value. God sees their worth. I want to invite you to ask the Lord to give you a heart to see the value of the people around you. That God would give you a heart for the lost. That God would give you a heart for the little kid that you carpool with. For the friend that sits across the aisle from you. Maybe for your colleague in the next cube over. Maybe for your neighbor that you say hi to. Or maybe for your neighbor that you don't even know. That God would open your eyes and that you would see that person through the eyes of Jesus. That you would see them with his eyes of compassion. Do you want to join me in this work? Maybe we need to ask the Lord to give us faith, to give us an obedient heart that no matter how inconvenient, no matter how extreme that we have to go through, that God would give us that perseverance, that tenacity, that ingenuity to be able to reach that lost person. Perhaps for a few of us, we may not realize that we are still lost. Perhaps you've been coming here to church and you've been hearing the messages, but you have yet to experience a personal relationship with Jesus. God is inviting you today to put your trust in Him. He's the one that has found you. He's the one that's wooing you. He's the one that is telling you to come home. So as we end today, I want to give two invitations. The first one is, if you have yet to experience Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you would want to follow Him and put your trust in Him, I want to ask that you just raise up your hand. No one's looking. Just, if you want to trust in the Lord Jesus today as your personal Savior, if you feel that you are lost, but that God has found you, I want to encourage you just to raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. The second invitation is for those of us who say, God, I know that lost people matter to you. Would you break my heart so that lost people matter to me as well? If that's you, I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to say, God, I know your heart is for the lost, and I will, in obedience to you, ask for your Holy Spirit's empowerment. I will ask for you to show up, you to open my eyes to see how I can join you in your work. Doesn't have to be anything big, but just a small step of obedience to say, Lord, here I am. I want to avail myself to see you at work. I want to commit myself and say, Lord, I want lost people to matter to me. Would you just stand and make a simple profession to the Lord to say, yes, Lord, that is me. God, come. Show me how you are working. Show me, Jesus, how you want me to join you in your work. God, we thank you for your sweet presence today. We thank you, Jesus, for your heart. We thank you, Lord, for just your heart for those around us, Lord, for those that are lost, Lord, that you would leave the 99 behind and go after that one lost sheep. God, we were that one lost sheep at one time, at one point in time, and Lord, you came after us. So Lord, we thank you for that lavish love. Thank you, Lord, that you went to great lengths to seek us out. Father, we pray that even as we come to your word today, that Lord, even as we've heard you at work in stories, Lord, that we've seen you at work in your word, that God, even as we come, Lord, we would want to avail ourselves to your work. Holy Spirit, we pray, God, that you would show us your heart, that Father, you would show us the lost around us. Help us, Lord, not to just think about ourselves, our own families, our own things, but Lord, that we would think about things of your kingdom, Lord, that even as we continue to study about the parables of the kingdom, that you would open our eyes to the greater things, Lord, of your kingdom and to the lost ones around us. Father, would you help us, Lord, to have a heart for the lost? Would you help us, Holy Spirit, to avail ourselves, to make ourselves available to you so that God, when you say to say a word, we would. When you say to extend a hand, we would. When you say to bear one another's burdens, we would. God, we ask, God, that you would show us opportunities even this week, even today, even tomorrow, even as we go into this week to our schools, to our neighborhoods, to our places of work, that God, you would open up opportunities for us to be your light, to be your hands, to be your feet. Jesus, give us a heart for the lost. Give us, Lord, your compassion. Give us, Lord, your eyes to see those around us. God, we know that we cannot do it on our own accord. Lord, we are weak. We are afraid. We don't know what to say. God, we need you. Lord, Holy Spirit, we need you to show up. So, Lord, would you do just that? Would you open up the way for us? Would you fill us today? Would you empower us with your boldness? Would you empower us with your courage? Would you empower us with your faith? Lord, even as we have Convoy of Hope opportunities, even as we have the LEAD Summit this coming week, Lord, would you bring in your lost sheep? Would you bring in your lost coins? Would you bring in the ones, Lord, that need to know the gospel, the living hope of Jesus Christ? God, we know this is your heart, and we ask, God, for your heart in faith. We ask, God, in boldness, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in advance for moving among us. Lord, we want to be a church full of testimonies of your work in our midst. We want to be a church full of salvations, Lord. We want to be a church full of people knowing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, God, would you listen to our prayers today? Would you listen to our hearts? So, Jesus, we thank you. God, we love you. We say thank you, Lord, for even counting us worthy to be involved in your work today. We ask all these in your precious name, we pray. Amen.